suffer from chronic CFED or can't focus energy drain? Try over-the-counter Vibrant. One tablet contains the same caffeine as a cup of coffee, but without the calories or coffee breath. Vibrant. Caffeine, not coffee. Taking Vibrant may result in increased productivity and decreased dread in setting alarms. Unexpected enjoyment of the graveyard shift has been associated with Vibrant. Vibrant may be a better budget option than drinking coffee. It may also decrease the urge to doze off, skip work, or exhibit signs of slacking. All jokes aside, always read the label, take only as directed, and limit caffeine as it may cause real side effects. Not for children under age 12.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Susnell. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that will hopefully inspire you to make a difference in your life, inspire you to do things that you've been thinking about that you haven't done, or perhaps plant some seeds and help you get motivated and think about things in a different way. And today I have somebody who's done that her whole life. Her name is Penny Pierce. She has a new book out. She's a respected clairvoyant, empath, visionary, author, and popular lecturer and trainer. She's been on the show before. And she's one of the early pioneers in the intuition development movement, specializing in intuition development, inner energy dynamics, expanded perception, transformation, and dream work. Her new book is called Transparency. And there's something that on her website, which I encourage all of you to go, pennyspierce.com, that there is a quote by her, and she says, "We're leaving the information age," says Penny, one of the world's leading experts on personal transformation, intuition, and expanded perception, and entering the intuition age. That means our perception is shifting and the rules of the way life functions are changing. So what's interesting, in a way, saying that we're leaving the information age and entering the intuition age almost seems counterintuitive. So what do you think about that, Penny? And welcome to the Inspire Possibility Show.
Counterintuitive. Well, it's not like we're leaving information behind. I think it's more like we're eclipsing things. Like, you know, we had the industrial age, and that bred computers. And then computers sped everything up until we kind of leaped into the information age. So we went from a real focus on the physical and the body and mechanical things into, the mind and information and, you know, data bytes and, you know, all of that.
Right, exactly.
And then that sped up because of the internet, right? I mean, and now we've got so much access to information that we can't really process it in the same way that we've been doing everything, which is a linear way of perceiving things. A, B, C, D, E, you know, like in a line. And it's just too slow. And I think what's happening now is because, you know, the world is accelerating constantly. It just never stops. So that we're being launched, really. At a certain point, I think we just won't be able to stand this linear slowness anymore, and we're going to launch into this new perception, which is moving out of the left brain into the right brain, into the body, into the whole field of energy that we are and that's around us, which means that we move out of this linear slowness into kind of an all-at-once sort of direct knowing of patterns, of, becoming one with knowledge, and then letting that slowly translate over into our left brain so we can put words on it, you know. But so the intuition age, I think, is one that's based very much in the present moment. Everything's speeding up and speeding up and speeding up, you know, and we're getting faster and faster. So really things are becoming instantaneous more and more.
But don't you think at one time humanity related totally on intuition and feelings?
Oh, yeah.
Before we got
but
into, you know, the printing press and
it.
All this kind of...
Yeah, that's the thing. I think we were sort of unconsciously super conscious and intuitive in the early years, and then we became sort of conscious, you know, and now we're trying to become consciously super conscious and intuitive. so that we know what we know. We know how to enter that state at will. We're not just at the effect of it, you know. You know, in the old days, you had omens. The crows were flying from left to right, and that meant something, you know. And now we can go into these deeper states of direct knowing and find new technologies and, I mean, all kinds of amazing stuff.
And we knew when it was going to rain. We didn't need to go to the internet to check the weather report.
That's right. We did have direct knowing. For sure.
Yeah.
I think we're getting back to a lot of that, I hope. I hope there's going to be a backlash against cell phones and screen addiction so that we're going back to natural stuff. And I think I heard somebody talk about it, the experiential. We're moving out of, you know, that mental, linear, quick, fast texting abbreviations and all that back to deep-level experiential stuff. Like with shopping at the holidays, they were saying not everybody really wants to do it online. People want to have this experiential thing, like this is a whole new thing to go to the mall, you know, and go see actual products in person and touch them.
But isn't the trend in terms of, let's say, internet sales, isn't that increasing every year?
Oh, I'm sure it. Yeah, sure. It is. But I'm talking about the very early stages of people realizing they need things for their body. They can't just look at pictures and two-dimensional stuff all the time. They have to have direct experience.
So what do you think the answer is so that people can start to have that direct experience?
Well, I think we have to work with developing our intuition. And that is a kind of sense of get out of the left brain and everything you think you know, get centered in your body, drop into the moment, and feel into things. And it's not about emotion. It's about sensitivity and sensing and feeling into and putting attention on things and keeping your attention on it and penetrating into things with your attention so that you actually then merge with the thing you're looking at, and then suddenly all the knowledge that was in that thing, maybe it's a tree, maybe it's a coffee cup, maybe it's your car, suddenly becomes part of you, or it downloads into you or whatever, and suddenly you know what it's like to be a tree. And the tree maybe knows what it's like to be you. Who knows? But that merger,
let me add something here. Yeah. Is you're like, you know, you've always been a clairvoyant and an empath. Mm-hmm. But most people aren't like that, or at least they're not aware of that. So how do they get into that knowing, that intuitive state? If they don't, for you, it's always been there. But how do most people that are involved in making a living, perhaps raising a family, and just involved in the everyday machinations of life, how do they get into that, to that inner state, that intuitive state that you're referring to? Because I know, again, for you, it's always been there. I've been fairly intuitive myself, but a lot of people aren't that way.
Yeah.
What do you say to them?
We're addicted to the left brain right now in our culture, right? You know, to logic and having proof and describing everything and having formulas and procedures and, you know, all that kind of thing. And
especially,
but we don't live in that actually all the time, Mark. You know,
especially writing books.
Oscillate in and out. There are lots
books.
Of moments. What?
I say writing books. You definitely get in the left brain in a way.
Well, you do both because you have to access the information.
Yeah.
And that comes through the pure creativity and, you know, opening up to the unknown. And then stuff comes in, you write it, you describe it, and then let go and go back out again and come back in again. You know, it's like this rocking thing, you know. But I think, you know, we go into the right brain and our intuition actually all day long. We rock in and out. So you might call it spacing out sometimes, or my sister calls it, she needs her staring into space time in the morning before she goes to her office.
Right.
And it's kind of like, or you need to just get out of your office and go for a walk in nature and breathe and get some air, or, you know, shift gears. Those are the times during the day where you're getting out of that dense, tight, left brain kind of opaque reality into this kind of fluid, open, movement-oriented, inspirational, you know, creative, more feeling state. And we need that to regenerate ourselves. And we do it instinctively. You know, what we want to learn is to do it more consciously, out of choice, you know, to say, okay, I finished a task. Let me be quiet for a minute, because the right brain does not have language. The left brain is all about language. So if you want to get into your intuition, stop talking. Stop your external talking. Stop listening to TV and reading, and stop the internal dialogue, the chatter, the monkey mind inside, and just be quiet, which is very difficult to do because we're addicted, you know, to language. But to be more like an animal, just be quiet and feel, you know, and not say, I'm looking at a chair right now. No, I'm looking at patterns of fabric or whatever, circles or whatever you've got in your environment with you. And stay out of description and language, actually. That's a simple way to start shifting into intuition. And then there's that gut feel. You know, what's your first impression?
Right.
An impression is a tactile thing. It's like an inner sense of tactile feelings of, you know, something that you lean toward, that you feel excited about, that stirs you up in a happy way, or something that makes you contract into a knot or a sense of heaviness or dullness. And you can tell those feeling states quite easily if you put your attention on them.
So one thing you're suggesting is that we take time to be quiet. Do you recommend, I know you've read, 10 books?
Yeah.
and is there a theme, a central theme to all of them, would you say?
Well, I think yes. I think it's all about the development of heightened consciousness, which is where I started with intuition development, which is The Intuitive Way was my first book. And then I wrote several books on dream work, which now are in ebook format, Be the Dreamer, Not the Dream, and there's a dream dictionary. And then I wrote Frequency, which is all about energy and you know, working with vibration and paying attention to the body and vibration. And then after that, I wrote Leap of Perception, which is about how consciousness is actually changing from linear to a kind of spherical, kind of holographic way of knowing the world, where everything's
right
in the present moment.
That's when you were on the show last time, I think, when Leap
okay,
of Perception
yeah
came out. Yeah.
Yeah, and then that kind of led into Transparency, which is, you know, kind of the next step. But it's all about personal transformation, really, going out of an old reality into this totally new kind of reality where everything's, you know, functioning according to spiritual principles, which are very elegant, you know, and fun. You know, it's not a place of
right
suffering and pain.
Right.
You know?
So let's talk about that. You're sometimes we hear in some spiritual practices that suffering is necessary or it's part of the game, and that we
yeah
have to come to terms with that. And are you saying something different, or what's your sense of that?
Well, I do think suffering is probably not even in the soul's vocabulary. You know, it does not understand
mm-hmm
fear. It's because it just not
mm-hmm
doesn't get separation and alienation
mm-hmm
or any of those things. It's all based on unity and compassion. But I think that if you start understanding that we're all very connected and that we evolve together as a collective consciousness, that what I think of to do, maybe the collective gave that to me to think about so that I would do it and then give it back to everybody so-and-so over there could have the thing they need so that they can do it and give it to this other one that needs the, you know, and it's just perfectly
mm-hmm
interconnected. And so we're all evolving together. That means that if you don't express yourself fully, you know, if you feel any glory in self-sacrifice or postponing of your own joy, then other people don't get what they need. You don't get to be your best self, and therefore other people don't get your best stuff, and vice versa. You know, if somebody's like, oh, I'm so humble and I just don't want to, you know, get in anybody's way, well then, well, you know, what good are you? You know,
right. Like, no, I know this idea of this false, you know, being humble, right? There's also a sense of, I feel, false humility where people are go overboard. And it sounds like you're saying fully express yourself, whoever that is.
Right, right. You don't have to be egotistical about it. Just be, enjoy yourself. Like a little kid, happy, you know, full of themselves. And, you know, and you don't have to lock in, like, I'm a so-and-so, because it changes from day to day, week to week, month to month. You know, and new skills come forth, and new ideas come in, and you say, oh, could I ever write a book? You know, I remember when that occurred to me, and I thought, I think I'd like to do that, you know, and so I did.
Yeah.
You know, and you just keep, what is it, revealing more of yourself to yourself if you want that. Now, if you're locked into old belief systems, you know, you don't grow. You know, and you're alienated from your own soul. You know, actually, we are the soul. But when you're caught up in your mind and in belief systems, you can't remember that that's who you actually are.
I think the natural tendency of humanity and all of consciousness is expansion and evolution. And I think that if we put brakes on that process, we're really interfering with the natural process of our own awakening. And
that's
so many
and everybody else's.
Yeah.
Because remember, a lot of being alive is truly about service. And that's not a sacrificial thing. It's a joyful thing. It's like somebody told me once, if you tell people what you love, they'll actually help you get it. Because they want you to be happy. You know, most people do. They'll try to help you. And I hadn't really realized that. But if you don't ever tell anybody what's meaningful to you, you know, then they can't get in on it. You know, we all like to work together and help each other and co-create. And we forget about that when we get into ego. You know. And but I think that's the natural way, is mutual support.
So what I'd like to kind of delve into a little bit more, you kind of just alluded to it, the sense of ego, because in the spiritual community, is that it's almost like ego is a dreaded word sometimes. People, oh, my God, that's ego. And where ego is necessary, it's necessary to get up day by day, to have goals, to have ambitions, and to get excited, but not to go overboard either. But what's your thought
about? Well, I wouldn't call
that
ego, though. Let me define what I think ego is. And I think it is when you're living in your left brain and everything has to be defined and safe and you're not allowed to change because the left brain is there to sort of protect you so that you get a narrower and narrower kind of reality that you're living in, and then you have to constantly protect yourself or try to fortify things and not let other people hurt you. And, you know, and so you get locked into this kind of very tight little world where you get narcissistic, where you're trying to control everything in your reality, or you become a victim and you try to control everything by, you know, being at the effect of everything. It's still, you know, a control game. And so ego is where you're not in touch with the soul. You're really totally identified with the left brain, with protective mechanisms, and fear, basically.
So here's
to get
something
out of that, you have to start identifying with the soul and with love and change and flow and variety and growth, you know, and let go of having to have everything be constantly safe and defined all the time.
So you know? What we want to say is, I left my left brain, I left it behind.
Yeah, no, it's got a role.
I
kind of
wanted to
of
say
course.
That when you were like talking.
It's the no, it's the implementer. Right?
Yeah.
Now the left brain is very crucially important for implementing all the wisdom and insight that the right brain and the intuition accesses. Because the right brain and intuition will access from the whole unified field. Everything's available in the imaginal realm. And so you're very unlimited in that regard. But if you try to access from the left brain, all you can do is what you've done in the past. And you don't think of new things. So you get a narrower and narrower world. And so that sense of limitation causes pain and suffering. And it causes depression when you're cut off from your own soul and you can't feel yourself. You know, you get really sad. You know, and people kill themselves over this. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, ego is not a sense of self. The sense of self is centeredness in the soul, identification as the soul, you know, with the spiritual realms. And that's what I'm writing about in Transparency, actually, is this kind of realizing I don't have a soul. I am a soul. I am the soul. I'm right now. It's in me now, guiding my mind, guiding my feelings, guiding the way reality comes together around me. You know, and I, somewhere deep in me, I know an awful lot of stuff, you know, and I know what I'm doing. And then having a lot of faith and trust in that. So then you don't need ego. You have this constant source of wisdom and kindness and connectedness and compassion that makes your life so much easier. You know?
Wow. You said a lot there. So what about people if they want to kind of hear from you direct? Can they do you consult with people individually, or do you do workshops
or
talks? And
well,
tell our
listeners
about that.
Talks and stuff on YouTube, and also I do private consultations. So that's on my website, and then I do travel somewhat and do workshops, and probably next year I'll be finally getting around to doing some online courses.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been, last year was all writing and production, and this year's, you know, promotion and travel. And
right.
So
are you doing a lot of traveling for this book, for Transparency?
Not yet, but probably next year I will, yeah.
Uh-huh. The topic is
like on the news every day now. You know, it's like, my goodness, it's like I hear it on the news. I hear spinoffs of it. I heard some, like, I don't know whether it was a subway company or a bus company, or said they're calling it Fairparency. Something like they're going to have transparency with their fares, you know. So the whole word is becoming kind of a key thing right now. It's like its time has come somehow.
Mm-hmm. So people can go to your website. What's interesting, I would say to the listeners, that Penny spells her name a little differently. Took me a while, actually, the first few times. I didn't quite get it, even though I was good in spelling as a kid. But it's not. It's P-E-I-R-C-E. It's Penny, P-E-N-N-E-Y, P-E-I-R-C-E. Right?
Yeah.
.com.
Yeah, the first name's like J.C. Penney's, and the last name is just kind of backwards from the way you would normally spell it.
Yeah, God, it took me a while.
Yeah.
So
there's lots of stuff on. There's excerpts from all my books and all kinds of free stuff and PDFs, all kinds of stuff on my website.
Yeah, I'd encourage, if you have time, to the people out there, take a look at Penny's website. There's a lot of great things on it, and you can get a sense of more of who she is, get a sense of her books. And how do people get your books? Any bookstore? Amazon?
Yeah, usually they should be at the independent bookstores. Books a Million's got it, but also Amazon and Barnes & Noble and probably Kobe have it also. So it should be everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So what's your message to people out there right now? What's your message of hope?
Well, my message of hope basically is that things look pretty bad out there, and it's mainly because we're in a process right now of clearing the clutter that was in our subconscious mind that has now come up to the surface and popped up like popcorn, you know. And so in our personal lives, we're starting to see all the stuff we didn't want to have to see. Look at all the sexual abuse stuff that's coming up in the news. You know, things are surfacing that used to be able to be suppressed. And so that's happening at an individual level and at a cultural, societal level and globally. You know, so scandals and all kinds of stuff are showing up, as well as your own stuff and everybody else's stuff. And it's kind of like we're swimming around in this sea of craziness and, you know, flotsam and jetsam, and it looks pretty bad. But it's actually clearing, and I think a lot of the new consciousness and the acceleration is going to continue to sort of eclipse this old control-based ego consciousness. And we will see that things that were tolerated, you know, even a few years ago are just stupid. It's like nobody wants to have anything to do with it.
So you're seeing what's coming out now. I mean, I just saw today there's some allegation against Garrison Keillor, you know, Home Prayer. Yes.
Oh dear. I mean,
just
it's
on
like
the internet.
And Matt Lauer and, you know, all
Matt
this
Lauer.
Stuff, you know, people that we like.
But you Garrison Keillor, that was a shocker.
Mm-hmm.
I can't
heard
believe
that one
it.
Yet,
it's almost like who's next?
Right. Well, you think
but
how
you see that as a good
is.
Thing. I see that as a good thing
because consciousness is coming into all these suppressed, secretive kinds of things, and to become transparent, we need to get clear of our secrets, our lies, everything mm-hmm. that holds back the flow of the soul. You mm-hmm. can't just hold this stuff and really be your full self. Because every time you hold or contract, you block yourself. So I think it's very healthy, but we'll see, especially with politics, how, you know, this administration is going to fare, because it is the epitome of watching, you know, this stuff coming to the surface and clearing. And
wow, amazing.
You know, so we'll just have to watch and see how it unfolds.
It's interesting, too, because in a way, what's going on today is almost an advertisement for your book, Transparency.
I know. That's
all
what
right.
It was
just
like, so like, oh, my God,
look
I
for
can't
the latest
believe it
scandal.
Came out when it did.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey.
Crazy.
Latest scandal. Transparency.
We'll see what comes next. You know.
Yeah,
I
was shocked when I... You know, saw the Garrison Keillor thing. I don't know why, but I mean, American Home Companion, Prairie
yeah,
Companion.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like, and you don't really know what's behind these things either, or
no,
the,
and
know,
yeah,
the whole
and you
story.
Don't know whether anybody's making it up, but there have been such
right.
there's been such suppression and belittling and. You know, people in power with a lot of money can really belittle and intimidate
right.
people who aren't. And it is really that, I think, that's behind all this. It's power over being brought to light.
Yeah. And I also think that in our personal lives that there's a place where we can go overboard and be too transparent when somebody mm-hmm. you know, says to you, how are you? And, you know, somebody, you're at the health food store, let's say, run into somebody, and it's very casual. They say, how are you? They don't want to know they don't want to know latest, what happened.
No, you don't have to broadcast everything. But my inner guidance told me, just be exposed. Let people see you. You don't have to tell everybody anything. You know,
right.
people will find you who need to find you, and if they're not interested in who you are, they won't find you. You know, but don't hide. Don't hold things back. Just let yourself be, you know, really, truly humble and simple. Just be the way you are each day, you know, and don't wear a mask, you know, just simple stuff.
Well, we're going to have to stop being transparent for the next 45 seconds because our time is running out. So somebody will have to listen when your next book comes out to the next segment of transparency, whatever that's going to be. So I want to thank you, Penny, for your wisdom, for your insights, and all the work you do. And I know how committed you are in terms of especially writing these books, because I know what's involved in doing that. So thanks for being on the Inspire Possibility Show.
Well, thank you for the work you're doing, too.
Well, you're quite welcome, and I know that we're going to continue our journey. So in the meantime, to our listeners, until next week, when we'll have another inspiring guest, journey on.
Do you suffer from chronic CFED or can't focus energy drain? Try over-the-counter Vibrin. One tablet contains the same caffeine as a cup of coffee, but without the calories or coffee breath. Vibrin, caffeine, not coffee. Taking Vibrin may result in a lack of drowsiness, improved productivity, and better cash flow from decreased coffee spending. Unexpected job promotions have been associated with Vibrin. Vibrin may decrease the urge to zone out, doze off, or exhibit signs of slacking. All jokes aside, always read the label, take only as directed, and limit caffeine as it may cause real side effects. Not for children under age 12. Do you suffer from chronic CFED or can't focus energy drain? Try over-the-counter Vibrin. One tablet contains the same caffeine as a cup of coffee, but without the calories or coffee breath. Vibrin, caffeine, not coffee. Taking Vibrin may result in a lack of drowsiness, improved productivity, and better cash flow from decreased coffee spending. Unexpected job promotions have been associated with Vibrin. Vibrin may decrease the urge to zone out, doze off, or exhibit signs of slacking. All jokes aside, always read the label, take only as directed, and limit caffeine as it may cause real side effects. Not for children under age 12.